I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Regardless of what you've been dealing with, how bad it is, how weak you feel, how long it's been that way, greater is He that's in you as a believer than anything that can come against you. And the key is learning how to yield to the greater one, cooperate with Him. You must not try to, you know, get God to do it your way and just keep insisting and pleading and begging. Go to Him and ask. Ask Him, Lord, show me what to do. And when He does, it may be something that surprises you, or it may be, a lot of times, it's something He told you a long time ago already. But either way, just do it. Just do it. The enemy will try to tell you, well, that won't make any difference. Tell him to shut up. Mm-hmm. He's not your Lord.
That's right.
Tell him to shut up and get out.
Yes.
And obey your God, because He is looking out for you. He knows. And how many times, if you walk with the Lord for very long, you've learned this, but how many times I've seen, and my wife and I have seen, you look for the answer, you ask the Lord, and He deals with you, do this. And you're like, well, I'm wanting to go this way. Do this. But okay. And so you do it, and next thing you know, you're on the right track.
Yes.
He had it worked out. You know, you would not think, God, you know, the tax bill is due. What are we going to do? He says, get your fishing pole. Go fishing. First fish that you get, look in his mouth. God, he does things on purpose that way. So that you cannot say when it happens, oh, I knew this. I knew that. No, you didn't. You didn't have a clue. So you better give glory to God, right? And He does things like that on purpose because, you know, you'd have to trust Him to follow through on that. And it is the trust that pleases Him. It's the trust, the faith that pleases Him and is good in His eyes. That's why we have Faith School. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the utterance. We open up our hearts and minds to You and we say, Lord, we want to be filled with the God kind of faith, faith and trust in You that pleases You, that receives from You, and that overcomes every bad thing in the world. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on our series now for a number of weeks called Faith for Provision. And we're going one by one through 30 reasons in the Scripture while we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And one by one, we're down now to number 14 in our study. If you haven't been with us, go online to faithschool.org and all of the previous lessons are there, hundreds of them. No charge, doesn't require any commitment. Our partners in the goodness of the Lord are underwriting these things, making them available for free to you. Go there and catch up, because we're building off of what went before. Faithschool.org. And we're down to number 14, so the previous 13 are there for you to hear and see. And number 14 is this. God is the God of restoration. Say it out loud. God
is the
God of restoration. What's His will? Restoration, not loss. not being devoured, not being consumed, not loss. You know, Peter said this, that in the book of Peter, he said, God's not willing that any should perish. Now that word perish, that same word is translated be destroyed. It's also translated lost. So to perish is to be destroyed, is to be lost. So you could, I mean, the same words translated in the King James Bible, those three different ways. So you could say it this way, and it's perfectly accurate. God's not willing that any be lost. Being lost, losing is not His will. You know, He went through Jesus taught the parables of the man that had lost the sheep, 1 out of 100. And he left the 99, is that right? Mm-hmm. And went and searched until he found it. And he brought it back and said, rejoice with me. I've found my sheep. Yeah. Right? Yes, sir. Well, his herd was restored to 100. Mm-hmm. Not 99, would have been missing one. Mm-hmm. And then the woman that lost her piece of jewelry, you know, and searched the house until she found it. Yes, right? Right? And then told her neighbors, come, rejoice with me. I found my piece of money, jewelry, silver, whatever it was. So God is in the activity of searching and finding and not losing. Yes. Hallelujah. Of recovering and restoring. And this is just His nature in everything, all the time. Not only does He not want human beings to be lost, He doesn't want good things to be lost in your life. Mm-hmm. And in God doesn't change. He's not good part of the time and mean part of the time. Mm-hmm. He's the same. Same, always. And so we saw that this word restore, like we said, means to be completed, to be fulfilled, to be restored. We saw in Joel that He told them when they came back to Him, He said, I'm going to rain on you. He said, and the floors are going to be full of wheat, and the vats are going to overflow with wine and oil. And this is Joel 2:25. I will restore to you the years that He talks about, all these, it could be called pestilence, all these devouring entities consumed until they were impoverished and hungry and broke and down. And God said, I'm going to rain on you. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be full. You're going to be overflowing. And, somebody say and. Yeah. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Now see, that's not just being in decent shape for today. That's God reaching back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does that bless you or does that bless
you? Yes.
God reaching back to things you lost and things maybe you forfeited yourself, mm-hmm, through your ignorance, through your disobedience. But it's a new day now, yes, because you've come to God and repented.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Now a lot of things are possible.
Yes, sir.
Whew, glory to God. And God's saying, I've got you. I'm raining on you. I'm blessing you. Your vats are full. Your barns are full. Your stomach is full. Let's not stop there.
Yes.
Let's not stop there. Let's reach back.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And these years that you were eaten and consumed and devoured, I want to restore to you and complete to you what you lost from those years. Is this really God?
Yes.
You know, a lot of people just don't believe this. They don't. They say, well, you know, you made your bed hard. You're going to have to lay in it. You sowed it. You're going to have to reap it. You sowed bad stuff. You're going to have to reap stuff. Not if somebody else reaped it for you. That's what mercy is all about. And God delights in showing mercy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He delights in it. He, in Micah 7, I'll read that. We quoted it, but let me give you the reference. Micah 7:18. Who's a God like you that pardons iniquity, passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. He said, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Why? So he can bless you like you didn't sin. He can restore to you what you lost through sin. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We went over to the book of Job, and we saw how that Job was the richest man in the East. He was, by today's standard, multi-billionaire. And yet, and protected, beautiful family, living wonderfully at ease and luxury. And within a few days, the enemy destroyed him. He lost it all. And every one of them, it says the devil is the one who did it. The devil went forth and moved through the Sabaeans and different ones of his neighbors. And they got to lusting after his money and his stuff. And they came and killed his people and his staff and stole all his livestock. And then it says the devil, you know, moved and caused a weather event. A thunderstorm and a tornado, whatever it was, a wind that hit the house where all his kids were and caused it to collapse and killed all of them. And then after that, he said the devil went forth and smote Job with sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. Every one of them, he said, the devil did it. The devil did it. The devil did it. Says it plainly. Yes. Right there in the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Well, Job has lost everything. Has he been destroyed, devoured, consumed? Has he lost things? Yes. Is this God's will?
No.
Does this please God? If it did please God, somebody would say, well, God let it happen. God's letting a lot of things happen, mm-hmm. right?
Yes,
that doesn't prove it's his will. If that's what pleased God, it would have been the end of the story.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Because if God wanted devastation, destruction, suffering and pain, it happened in the first two chapters. Job could have been a lot shorter book. Is that right? We don't need these other 40 chapters to sort things out and get to another end. No, it would have just been poor old Job, man. He was up high. But then he got knocked down low. He had everything, but he lost it all, you know. And we don't know. That's just things happen. It must have been God's will. No, no. If that had been God's will, it would have been the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see, we got into this yesterday. What we see is that after so much discussion and Job saying some things that were wrong, he actually accused God of being unfair. And question God's judgments, that he wasn't right and that he wasn't fair and he wasn't good and that he didn't care about good people. He said a lot of things he shouldn't have said. Well, God spoke to him personally. And oh boy, it literally blew him away. And finally, after much hearing what God was saying, he said, I repent, I repent. I have said, I'm going to paraphrase, I've said stupid stuff. I've said wrong things. I repent in dust and ashes. I'm putting my hand on my mouth so I don't say something dumb again. And the Lord had mercy on him. And the Lord forgave him for all his stuff he said. And he told him, he said, your friends have said some wrong things about me too. And he told him, he said, you better bring an offering and ask Job to pray for you. And so that's what they did. And in Job 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Is this the will of God?
Yes.
Ah. Elsewise, like I said, the book would have stopped 40 chapters ago. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, this is also another instance of you can't hold a grudge.
Right?
Right? He got quite upset with them. If you read the whole book, I mean, there are times he said, you are a miserable bunch. He said, if you were hurting like I was hurting, I could come and torment you, but I wouldn't do it. And I mean, they said some things. A lot of things were said, and he could have said, hey, pray for yourself. You had all the answers while ago. Yeah, now that God shows up and helps me, yeah, you want me to pray for you. Well, no, you got to forgive.
Yes.
Or else wise you can't move forward. And, you know, if God's been so gracious as to forgive you, how many think you got to show mercy?
Yes.
Right? Or else wise you're a hypocrite and a lot of other things. But he prayed for his friends. Verse 10, also. Don't that sound like Joel?
Yes.
And, now how many know to just no longer have boils from head to toe? That's a good day, right? You're like, glory to God, right? To have gotten right with God, right? He repented. He's right with God. He ain't got any money. He still got his family situation, but he's healed and he's got peace.
Yes.
And this is a big day, but God's not done. I said, God's not done. Huh? Just recovering you from death and destruction is not all God wants. Just helping you to miss hell is not the end. He wants more. I said he wants more. He wants a lot more. And so he turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Well, let's remind ourselves. Job 1:3. He had 7,000 sheep back then.
Right.
Now he's got what? 14,000 sheepies. Now this is a lot of sheep. Is that right? So he's going to need twice the staff. Right? To take care of him. He had 3,000 camels. Now what's he got? 6,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, which would be 1,000. Now he's got 1,000 yoke of oxen, which would be 2,000 oxen. 500 donkeys. Now he's got 1,000 of them. And a very great household. Now he's got twice a very great household. Is this God?
Yes, sir.
Is this his will?
Yes.
Does he play favorites?
No.
Has he changed?
No.
Then he's wanting to do the same thing today as he did then. And he's wanting to do the same thing for you.
Yes, sir.
Or for me or for he doesn't change. He doesn't play favorites. So he wants salvation. He wants to recover what was lost. And he wants things to be right and healed. But he don't want to stop there.
No.
He wants to take you on up
beyond
where you were before you got destroyed. And this, my brother, sister, is a great big back slap in the devil's face. Ka-whap. What do I mean? He thought he had, don't you know? He thought, I've pulled it off.
Right.
I have completely destroyed and humiliated and shamed the richest, most righteous man in the whole country. Oh, man, they were partying in hell. He's like, did you see what we did? And it lasted, the historians tell us probably the whole ordeal of Job happened maybe 8 months. So he had a bad year. But at the end of that time, when this begins to happen, what do you think the devil and his bunch are thinking? No. Just him getting healed and getting back to God. He's not going to die. He ain't going to die. No, he ain't dying. He's healed. Yeah, and he's back. He's back right with God. Uh-oh. And he's getting back his camel. Oh, no. Camel, he didn't stop at 7,000. Now he's got 10,000. Oh, no, 14,000. This is what God always wants you and I to be more than conquerors.
Yes.
Come on, y'all with me now. More than conquerors. What's a conqueror? You don't lose. You win.
Yes.
And that's great. Sure beats losing.
Yes.
But come on, help me out. More. What's more than conquerors? Not only do you not lose, not only do you win, not only did the enemy not accomplish what he wanted to, but now you make him wish he had never messed with you. You make him eat it for the next 30 years. You make him watch while God takes what he meant for evil and just gets glory out of bringing you out of it and over it and bringing you way beyond where you ever were before the enemy attacked you.
Yes, sir.
This glorifies God.
Yes, sir.
This glorifies God, and it shows the enemy is defeated.
Yes.
He is a defeated foe. It goes on to say, verse 11, when the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, then came there to him all his brothers and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before. You know, everybody had left him. I mean, everybody. But they saw, something's going on with him, you know. And so they came back, and he didn't say, nah, you stay away. They came and ate bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him, and they comforted him over all the evil the Lord had brought upon him. And of course, that was judgment. The Lord allowed the enemy. Every man gave him a piece of money. That's how he got his start back. Everybody gave him a piece of money and an earring of gold. That was one way people carried around money, was some gold. You could pull it off and use it for money. And so, verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He was some kind of blessed before, but the Lord blessed him more than in the beginning. And it goes on to make sure you understood that twice thing had happened. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses, and he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'm assuming this is the same wife. I don't know. But God restores marriages. Is that right? And he restores families. Isn't this something? He's the God of restoration. I reckon, you know, and everything produces after its own kind. He repented, and he prayed for his friends. They repented. I'm thinking his wife repented too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you see that? Because he sowed it.
Yeah.
He was when you're willing to repent, you'll find that people will repent to you too.
Yeah.
You're sowing it. And so they had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And after this, Job lived 140 years after that and saw his sons and his sons' sons. This is back when they were living a long time. Even 4 generations after the bad year. So like I said, if anybody says, well, you know, I must be like poor old Job. You go, shout, brother. You better shout. You're just like poor old Job. First of all, ain't nothing poor about Job. Richest man around. And he did hit a low point for a few months, but God restored him and added to him. So Job died being old and full of days. I've heard people, you know, just say in a depressed tone, you know, I guess we're just like poor old Job. You obviously haven't read the book. You haven't read the story. This is a story of deliverance, a story of repentance and overcoming and victory. It's a story of restoration, and it's a story of advancing you far beyond what the devil ever took from you. The devil's a thief. And in the Proverbs, it talks about if you find out who the thief is, there's got to be restoration. We're going to be talking about that in time to come. But God wants you and I to not give up on things that were lost through situations in time past. And it requires mind renewal. Because in many times people think, well, if it's gone, it's gone. It's already happened. It's too late. It's gone. You got to remember who you're dealing with. The God with whom nothing is impossible. So pray it out loud with me. Say, Father God,
I do believe
nothing's too hard for you.
Nothing's impossible.
Nothing is impossible
with you.
And I do open up myself
to receive of you
restoration of lost years,
of lost things,
of lost opportunities,
of things the enemy
was able to steal
and destroy
and devour.
You said
you would restore to us the years
that had been eaten up.
You said
you would add to
and increase,
restore,
and bless
beyond
what was stolen.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm receiving from you.
Show me how to think.
Show me what to pray.
What to say.
What to act on.
What to do.
I believe.
I receive
restoration
in my life.
Get glory to yourself
in it.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You watch and see.
There will be testimonies.
Testimonies
of great restoration.
Well, our time's up again today.
Come back next time.
There's much more to see
about the God of restoration.
Sure enjoyed being with you again this week.
The Lord's helping us.
The God of restoration
is real,
and that's what He wants for all of us.
A lot of you are
partners with us,
and I like to
pray over our partners
every
end of the week when I can.
And you might have noticed
we talk about
all of these things
are underwritten and
they're available for free.
That's because of
partnership.
And if you want to
become a partner, the
information is
on the screen there.
If you have
lost things in
business or
financially,
God's will
is restoration.
And
regardless of the
mistakes you've made,
let's pray a
prayer and believe
for restoration there.
Lord,
we repent
for mistakes
and not listening to you,
but I
speak over our
partners.
They're
connected. I have
a right to pray this.
I rebuke
the enemy
from
stealing
things that are
connected to them
and to us.
And I'm
asking you, Lord,
show them the path
forward
and cause
extra to
come in
and
restore
things they've
lost in
times past.
I ask
for it. We
lay hold of it.
I speak
increase and
blessing
over every
partner's life
in Jesus'
name.
Expect it.
He hears
prayers
and He answers
them.
We love you.
We thank God for you.
Thanks for
being hooked with us,
believing in us.
We'll see you soon
back here
in Faith School.
Thank you for
joining us at Faith School.
Class
is dismissed for
today, but
you can watch this
and other episodes
of Faith School
free of charge
at
faithschool.org.
For more
information,
visit our website
or call us
at
941-702-7390.